Before I dig in today, can we pray for the folks on the coast? Can we do that? Just have some time to do that. God, thank you for this morning that we get to gather and worship. But we lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ and the whole world that is facing the challenge of Ida this morning. As that storm moves in, we pray for your protection. We pray that you would calm that storm. We pray for those that are involved in the rescue efforts, those that are involved in the aftermath and the rescue of folks and the restoration of the coast. We pray above all that this would not be something that was massive, that you would protect life and protect those involved. We give you this time this morning in Christ's name. Amen. So I want to talk about four words: fear, faith, failure, and forward. That's where we're going this morning. Those four words, if you're taking notes, there's your nice little outline. Fear, faith, failure, and forward, they're all F words. You know, you don't like to see Fs when you're in college, but there's the four words. Start with fear. Have you ever had a moment where fear, and you can think of this after I asked the question, that kept you from accomplishing something you really wanted to accomplish? A paralyzing fear that held you back. You really wanted to do something, but there was some fear of what others might say, fear of what might happen to you if you try, fear of failure, fear of something that kept you from going forward. When I was in college, I was all in on ropes, high element ropes courses, like zip lines and stuff like that. In fact, this was graduate school. I had every intent of doing high ropes counseling with my counseling degree. Somebody's going to be really more amenable to what you have to say about counseling after they've been scared to death, you know. Like, can we take you up on a zip line and then talk to you about fear, you know, that kind of thing. And so my buddies and I, we went camping in Alabama, and we went rappelling. Anybody ever gone rappelling? 100-foot cliff. I didn't know they had hills that big in Alabama. 100-foot cliff, 10 stories. And they go, hey, Charlie, here's a 2-inch rope. Walk off. I mean, when you really get down to what rappelling is, that's what rappelling is. A little rope about that big around, and you look down 10 stories, and you turn around backwards and walk off. You don't even get to see where you're going to fall. You just walk off backwards. Let me tell you, there is something in your DNA that goes, this will not help you survive. Like every fiber of my being was petrified. It's like, oh, you want me to do what? I was all about zip lines, you know, swinging, woo, it's fun. You got a big harness on, 2-inch rope, 100-foot cliff. I did it. I have a picture somewhere that proves I was hanging off the cliff. So I can prove that I did it. I did not go again. My friends were like, yeah. There were some military guys there that weekend that were doing the head first version. That's just weird. Like they literally were running and like diving off head first and then catching themselves with a rope and then landing like this. That's why I'm not in the military. You know what I mean? I was like, no, that's not, it's not natural. It was fear. It was paralyzing. And then years later, I was working with some youth at a camp, and we had this thing called the pamper pole. Why do you think they named it that? 40-foot telephone pole that you stand on top of in your harness, and you jump out about 10 feet and try to ring a bell. And the harness catches you. No, literally, this is not even rappelling where you hold onto the rope. This is literally stand on top, jump off. Seriously? And for a couple of summers, I'm like, y'all go. Kids, y'all have more tries. I don't have to do it today. Keep going. Make sure you have time. Everybody go. Y'all go. I'm not going. And then this zip line, and I like zip lines. And I was comfortable with zip lines. But this zip line was so tall. For all you physics majors out there or like geometry people, the zip line was 3/4 of a mile long. So do the math for how high this platform had to be for that part of the triangle to be that far. It's like, okay, I'm going to do this. Fear was going, you don't want to do this. Fear was paralyzing me. Fear was like, okay. The zip line was so long that the fear went away. You're just kind of like, okay, here I am for a while. Like it was like one of those deals. But it was amazing. 10-story cliff, the trees look this big, and you're supposed to walk off backwards. Pamper pole, just jump out in the air. Your harness will catch you. But the experiences themselves, the fear kept me from trying it for a couple of years, but the experiences themselves were worth the leap. Does that make sense? And so sometimes we go, I'm paralyzed by fear. I really want this, but I really don't want to take the step that it takes. But I want to talk to you about somebody in Scripture who is faced with fear and faith at the same time. This is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. All right. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. He is Jesus, by the way. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat was battered by waves and was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it's I, don't be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water," he said. "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started to walk on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Okay, Peter didn't have a pamper pole, but, right? They're in a boat. Jesus goes up, has some quiet time, says, "Y'all go out ahead." My first thought is the disciples had to be going, "Is he not coming with us?" Like, how does that come up as normal, right? Here's the boat and goes out there. So anyway, they go out, and it's a little bit of a stormy ocean. And so in the middle of the night, Jesus is like, "Okay, I'm done with my quiet time. I'm just going to walk out and catch up with them." This picture is weird. It just is. It's interesting, right? So they're a little afraid of the waves and the mist and the ocean. There's no electricity back then. So out on the ocean in the middle of the night, it's dark. And here's this figure walking on the water. Would you not be freaked out? I would. How's that guy on the water? Who is that? It's a ghost, is what the Scripture literally tells us. They thought it was a ghost walking on water. And Jesus goes, "Don't worry, it's me." I guess they knew his voice because they seemed to go, "Oh, Jesus, okay." But then there's Peter. And Peter's going to Peter, right? Peter's that guy in class that raises his hand before he really hears the whole question. You know what I'm talking about, right? He's that guy in your life that whatever, they walk in the room, you know they're there because they're that loud, they're that boisterous. They volunteer first, and then you just kind of laugh at them. It's like, "Oh, it's up to you." You know, that's Peter. That's who Peter is. So when Peter realizes it's Jesus, he's like, "Hey, if that's really you, let me come out there and join you." Peter clearly had not thought this through yet either, right? So Peter gets out of the boat, walks on water, until he starts to notice, "Hey, wait a minute, this is not how this is supposed to work." He looks around and he sees the wind and the waves, looks down at his feet, looks back around, goes, "Wait a minute, how did I get myself into this one?" Right? And he starts to sink. Smart man that he is, he looks at Jesus and goes, "Jesus, I'm drowning, save me. Like, I'm sinking into the water, pull me up." So Jesus pulls him up. They get back in the boat, everything's okay. Even the winds died down and the people were like, "Okay, if Jesus walked here on water, surely he is God," and they worshiped him. Now, 9 times out of 10, when you hear this passage preached, what does the pastor say? If Peter had just kept his eyes on Jesus, he wouldn't have sunk. Right? Peter gets out of the boat because of faith. He leaps before he thinks. That's faith. I'm just going to go. Woohoo, here we go. And then when we preach this sermon, when somebody preaches this sermon, they go, "See, if he'd have kept his eyes on Jesus, he wouldn't have got wet." You know what I mean? He wouldn't have sunk. But Peter wasn't faithful enough. Where's your faith? Even Jesus says, "Where's your faith? Why did you doubt me?" Right? And that's true. And that's a biblical understanding of this passage. But I got this different way of thinking about it. Because you could cast this story as Peter failed, right? Fear, faith, failure, right? You could say Peter failed to be faithful. Peter, if he had just kept his eyes on Jesus, he wouldn't have failed. And sometimes when we let fear grip us, that's what happens, right? We kind of lose our faith in ourselves. We lose our faith in what God's going to do. Maybe we lose our faith in somebody else, and that's why we're afraid. We lose our faith, and we start to kind of sink a little bit. And we feel like a failure. Maybe we even feel like a spiritual failure. Hey, God, I'm really going to try to be good again and do this thing right the right way, and I've got faith in you. Everything's awesome. Oops, I did it again. And we feel like a failure. But I have a totally different impression of this story. I am so sure that when Peter got in the boat and he just went, man, I wish I had kept my eyes on Jesus, I sunk in the water. You think that's what he said? I picture it more like this. 3 steps. I walked on water. Did you see that? I got to walk on water. Did you get to walk on water? No, you didn't get out of the boat. I got out of the boat. I got to walk on water. High fives, high fives, high fives. I mean, if you walked on water this afternoon, would you be like, dang, I only got 4 feet down. Peter got to walk on water. And we miss that. We read the story and we go, Jesus went to quiet time. Jesus walked on water. He's Jesus. He's supposed to do that kind of stuff. They were afraid of him because that was weird. Peter tried it because Peter's going to Peter. And then Peter takes his eyes off Jesus and sinks. And we're like, see, Peter, man, you failure. What were you doing? What were you thinking? Where was your faith? His faith was when he got out of the boat. The rest of the disciples sat in the boat and cowered in fear. Peter got to walk on water. Did he get all the way to Jesus? No. You walked on water lately? He got to walk on water. Why? Because he looked at Jesus and said, if that's really you, command me to walk to you and I will. His response to the encounter with Jesus when everybody was terrified and everybody, and probably Peter too, was afraid, he took a leap of faith anyway. He said, I'm it's Jesus. I'm safe. If Jesus can walk on water, I can walk on water. Until he started to notice, wait a minute, where am I right now? And yes, he did take his mind and his confidence off Jesus. He goes, by the way, where did Peter's power to walk on water come from? Jesus. Peter wasn't special. Peter was no different than you and me. Peter didn't have any mysterious powers where he could walk on water. What kept him above the waves? Jesus did. His faith in Jesus did, for sure. And then when he started to look around at the things that were threatening him, and we started to look around at the circumstances that were a little too much for him, he lost sight of Jesus. He did, and he sank. But I don't think he failed. He took a leap, and because he took a leap, he got to walk on water. And so when I ask you a question at the outset of this sermon, it's like, hey, have you ever let fear hold you back from experiencing something? And you regret it later. It's like, man, I just chickened out, whatever it is. I chickened out. I didn't go up on the pamper pole. You know, whatever it is, I chickened out. When we do that, we miss out on the miracle. When we're afraid, our only response to fear in our life circumstances is faith in Jesus. Fear, faith. And yes, sometimes our fear, our faith is going to fail us. We're going to look at the ocean and go, yeah, that's a little too big. We're going to realize we're out on a limb. Makes my metaphors a little bit here. We're out on a limb and there's no way back on our own power here. We freak out and we sink. We're going to fail. But the question is, how do we move forward? Because if we allow fear to keep us from going somewhere we know we're supposed to go, where God tells us, hey, I want you to do this, and we allow fear to keep us from doing it, then we miss out on walking on water. Metaphorically speaking, of course. And you try walking on water later, I'm not responsible. Okay? So like this idea is we have fears in our life. We have challenges in our life. We have things that make us afraid and scared and make our faith weak. But Jesus is saying, come on. And the question is, will we get out of the boat? The rest of the disciples were safe. I'd say they were dry, but there's wind and waves. Who knows? They were safe in the boat. And when Peter gets back in, he's like, I'm more spiritual than you are. I got to walk on water. I mean, I would have been. I'd have been celebrating. But if Peter doesn't get out of the boat, he doesn't experience Christ's miracle. He doesn't get to experience it. You see, these times when we're afraid, it gives us the opportunity to demonstrate our faith by getting out of the boat. The faith response in the face of fear is a demonstration of our faith. Peter jumps out of the boat. He's proving, he's expecting Jesus to hold him up. I mean, I don't know if he thought through it that far. Okay, I'll walk on water. Wait, how does this even work? Too late, right? He probably didn't even think of that far through. And when we demonstrate faith in the face of fear, that is when we experience Jesus' power. It was Jesus that held him up, not him. It was Jesus' ability that held him up, not Peter's. In other words, Peter experienced the miracle, but what about Peter? It's about Jesus at work in Peter's life in that moment. Because when he failed, what did Jesus do? It says he immediately reached down and pulled him up. When he started to sink, when he lost confidence, when he lost faith, who got him on the water, above the water, or who got him out of the bad situation? The correct answer is the Sunday school answer, Jesus. Right? Pastor ever asks you a question, that's always the right answer, Jesus. Whatever it is, it'll work, it'll fit, try it sometime. So, he's empowered by God to experience a miracle because he took a leap of faith. So for us to go forward means what? Are we in the boat? Are we out of the boat? If God gives us a mission to do, if God gives us a relationship that's a challenge, if God gives us something that terrifies us, a set of circumstances that terrify us, the way forward is a faith response to fear. We demonstrate our faith in Christ when we take the leap. And if we do that, that's when we experience the miracle. And by the way, Jesus doesn't ask us to do anything he didn't do for us, right? Can you think of a time in Jesus' ministry where he had faced such intense fear but leapt anyway? In the Garden of Gethsemane, he was so afraid of what was coming, he sweat blood. Do you remember his response to those circumstances? Not my will, but yours. Jesus knew what he was faced with. And to be human would be, the human part of him had to be terrified. Anybody want to be beaten and crucified? He knew what he was faced with. He knew he was going to be facing death at the hand of the Romans. He knew what a crucifixion was. And his prayer to God was this: if there's any other way we can do this, let's do it. If there's any other way, God the Father, we can work out a different plan of salvation right now, this would be a good time to do it. I mean, that's the prayer, right? That's kind of the heart behind that. It's like, hey, I really don't want to do this. But not my will, yours. And that's what Peter does. Peter jumps out because it's Jesus. I can trust him. I'll go. We'll see what happens. Wait a minute, this is not working out the way I planned. And sometimes a leap of faith might cost us something. Sometimes a leap of faith might actually be terrifying. It may even get us wet, metaphorically speaking here. We may fail. It may hurt. It may mean we have to sacrifice because God's called us to something that feels like it's beyond us. But our response to the wind and waves battering around us should be faith. Why? Because Jesus responded to the challenges the same way. And when those circumstances do overwhelm us, he's literally going to lift us out of them. Now, does that mean that everything that ever goes wrong, Jesus will make it okay? That would be an empty promise. I cannot guarantee you that. But if you don't take the risk, you're not going to walk on water. Yeah, it may cost you something. Yep, it may hurt. But it's in those moments that you'll experience the power of Jesus anyway. But you got to get out of the boat.
The other disciples didn't get to walk on water. Peter did. Three steps. Yes. Ha ha ha. Y'all didn't do it. I did. You know, because Peter's going to Peter. That's how this works. So in the last couple weeks, we've been calling this never-ending work for a reason. God's not done with you. God's working in fear in your life. God's forming you spiritually. And we talk about that. We call this place connection for a reason. We believe in our connect. We believe that we cultivate our connection with God through worship and practices of spiritual formation. That's how we operate. We believe that we cultivate our relationship with each other through practices of encouragement and hospitality. Don't catch the breakfast food outside. You know what I'm saying? Practices of hospitality, making each other feel welcome, building relationships, encouraging one another as the scriptures call us to do in our faith. And I believe that we also cultivate our relationship with the rest of the world by being sent on mission. I heard a pastor one time go, if you're a Christian and you're wondering if you're called or not, too late. If you're a Christian, you're called. That was kind of the way he said it. It was like, you wonder if you have a calling on your life? Yep, you do. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, you've been sent on a mission. I don't know what it is. It's unique to each person. It's part of their gift mix. It's part of who they are. It's who God's made them to be, what their experiences have called them to be, what their gift, talents, and everything else has made them uniquely to be, to minister. But if you call yourself a follower of Jesus, he has a mission in your life. It could be the best Christian accountant ever. I have no idea, but he has a mission for your life. We're called to make the kingdom of God and bring it here. We're his ambassadors. At a seminary, professor goes, you know what they used to do, ambassadors in the biblical times? This will be really encouraging, okay? If you're a king and you're trying to treat with another foreign power, you send your ambassador with the terms of the treaty. If you're the conquering king that doesn't care about those terms, you know what you do? You behead the ambassador, send his head back in a basket. Anybody want to be an ambassador? I mean, and the scriptures call us ambassadors of God's kingdom. Now for us, we think, oh, ambassador, you know, diplomatic immunity, cushy job. In Jesus' day, ambassador for you? In other words, being sent on mission might be costly. You might have to leap out of the boat and do something that's scary or that stretches you. But those practices of being on mission will make you more Christ-like in your path with him. So last week I mentioned kind of in passing toward the end that I had a challenge for you called Your Three. If you weren't here last week, you're getting caught up. No worries, no harm, no foul. There's a little card on your chair. I'm making this really easy for you. There's a card on your chair called Your Three. It says Your Three and it has three blanks. The challenge of Your Three is these are your three. Three people that God places in your heart that you're not sure if they have a church or a relationship with God. Pray for them. Write the three names down as God gives them to you. There's no deadline on this, by the way. Write the three names down as God gives them to you and be praying for them. The second part of your three is to take intentional steps to build a relationship with them. If you know them and they're already in your sphere of influence, and you already kind of know them, you just don't know where they are, then this step is a little easy. It's easy, you know? Have some coffee. I don't know. Have lunch. Do whatever it takes to deepen a relationship with them. Remember, we're all about connections. That's why we call this place connection. And then the third thing, really super easy, invite them to church. And I said last week that if you're not part of a connection of a church family, we miss out on what God says through you to us. So these people have something for us. They have gifts for us. They have something God has in their experience for us that we're missing out on if they're not sitting in the chair right in front of you. And so I'm challenging you to get out of the boat. Because if you're like me, and I know this is weird because I'm standing up in front of a bunch of people talking. I'm an introvert. If you're an introvert in this room, this terrifies you. This little card is now the pamper pole for you. I get it. But you can pray. You can ask God to develop the relationships and present the opportunities. And if you have to, text them and invite them to church. I don't know what, you know, as an introvert, you're going to have to figure that one out. That's okay. It's cool. But all of us can do this. Why? Because we have Christ. We have the gospel. We have the good news. God's not done working on us. We're no more perfect than they are. We're no more better than they are because we're in church and they're not. Oh, we're spiritual. I got out of the boat, you didn't. Yeah, none of that. But if you're a Christian, you're supposed to be sent. So like I said, there's no time on this. I'm not going to be like, next week, did you invite your three? I'm not doing that to you. I printed the cards so you have no excuse not to keep track of this. Fill out the cards, stick it on your mirror so you'll see it and think to pray for them. Because by the way, if you just do step one, I have a theory. If you do step one, the Holy Spirit will take care of step two and three. That's my theory. That if you intentionally pray for three people to be connected to have an opportunity to invite them to be part of this fellowship, God will work out the details of the rest of it. That's my theory. Let's test it. This is your opportunity to get out of the boat a little bit and go, who do I know? And by the way, if you're like me, this when I was in seminary, a seminary professor said this too in evangelism class. He's like, you're a seminary student working at a church, going to Christian school. You don't know any lost people. He was right. We were a nice little Christian bubble. All of our friends were Christians. All of our friends were fellow pastors. Like, you're going to have to witness to three people this semester. You got to find people that don't have a relationship with God. You got to get out of your bubble. If you're thinking this and going, everybody I know is a Christian, they go to some other church, cool, that's fine. Then you got to start figuring out, maybe ask the Holy Spirit, show me who needs to experience you. God's going to honor this prayer. Hey, God, show me some people I need to connect with that need to know what it means to be a part of you. Promise you, he'll answer that prayer. Yes, you'll be out of the boat. Yes, you'll be walking on water. Yes, the conversation might be scary and you might start to sink. But Christ will be right there to pull you out of the water anyway. Let's pray. God, thank you that you have not only sent us on mission, but you go on mission with us. Remind our hearts that this really isn't about our own ability. Remind our hearts that this isn't even about us, but it's all about you. Lord, we entrust this to you. We ask that you would continue your work in our life, this never-ending work of making us more and more like you. Fill our lives with practices of worship. Fill our lives with practices of spiritual formation that shape our hearts to love you more. Fill our lives with practices of hospitality and encouragement so that we can spur one another on to good works. And Lord, connect us to those who do not know you, who need to experience your love and grace too. In your precious Son's name, amen.